Elko. Tonight's program is designed to create a genuine dialogue between our elders and youth to experience each other's stories of how it is and was to be the same age.
My name is Darnell Kress. I am born in St. Mary's Hospital, North Dakota. I grew up in Point Point, and I live in Point Point now.
My name is Evelyn, and I was born in White Earth Hospital in White Earth, and I grew up in Point Point. We first had a house by the old cemetery, by the Episcopal Cemetery, by the Spirit Houses there. We lived there when I was a baby, and then we moved to where my dad's house is now when I was just a little baby, when I was crawling, and I still live there now.
What are some of the earliest childhood memories?
When we lived there, we lived in a tar paper house. They call them tar paper houses. They're made out of boards, and then the tar paper was outside the house. And do you know what tar paper is?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they had on the outside of the houses, and so they call them tar paper houses. And my dad built that when I was a baby, and it had two rooms, a big room, and it had a lot of beds in it, and then a little small kitchen. And that's where I remember being a baby, and I was crawling on the floor, and it had, you know, boards on the floor, and there was like slivers. But I was crawling on the floor, and there was a big stove, one of those big wood barrel stoves in the living room, and then they had a wood stove in the kitchen. And I remember living there, and I remember the roof would leak. We'd go running around when it would rain, and we'd be grabbing pots and pans and putting them on the floor because it was leaking in the house. And it was cold. There'd be frost that would come in on the cracks on the wall, and my mom she'd have these old rags, and she would cut them in strips, and we would stuff those or cracks because it was cold, and there was always frost in there in the winter time, so we'd be stuffing those cracks with those rags. And then we didn't have no electricity or no TV. We didn't have no running water. We had a pump outside, and we had our toilet was outside in the winter time. When we'd go get water outside, that old pump would freeze on the ice, water would freeze on the ground, and then we had to get hot water, and we would pour it in that old pump, and we called priming it, then we'd pump it and that water would come up again. So we had our water from outside, and then we had to use the toilet outside, and sometimes in winter time it was really cold. And then we didn't have no bathrooms in the house and stuff like that. We had wash basins, a basin where we would wash up in, and then in the summertime we'd go swimming at the river. There's that river there, and we'd go swimming over there, or otherwise my sisters would give us some spun baths. And we had this big old black cast iron tub, and we were kids and would fit in there, and they would wash us up in there. And that's kind of how we washed up. When we were kids, we used to play a lot of games with our sisters and our neighbors. We'd play ball games. They would come over there and say, "You want to play ball with us?" So we'd play ball with them. And so I know we had bats and balls, and we'd make up all these other games. We'd play, we call this one game, we'd call Intintii over, and we'd throw the ball over the house, and somebody would catch it on the other side, and we'd chase each other around the house. And that was one of the games we played. We had paper dolls. We called them paper dolls. You know, those are catalogs or you get now that advertise clothes. Those are, we cut those people out of there, like the man and the woman, and we would cut kids out for our kids, our family, and then we would fold the paper to make beds and stuff like that. So that's how we played. We'd play paper dolls. Especially me and my younger sisters, I remember playing with them more than my older sisters. I don't remember where they were all at, but that's what we played with. And then we used to play school. I don't know, somebody would give us old school books, so we'd play school, and somebody would be the teacher and tell us do homework, and so we would do that homework and stuff, and it didn't seem to last very long. I mean, we didn't do it all day or anything, just to pass some time. And then because we didn't have dolls, I remember my mom bought my sister. One of my little sisters had a Raggedy Ann and Andy. They're like stuffed animals. And my other sister, she had a teddy bear. And we didn't have no bikes or anything. And we didn't have, because we didn't have TVs. So we didn't have electricity. And then when we got a TV, I was probably about 10 or 11. We got electricity and we got a TV. And today, I think, you know, TV influenced influences a lot of kids today, but when I think back on it, it did influence me, because in those days, it's like, we watch a lot of cowboys and Indian shows, and my dad always liked to watch those cowboys and Indian shows, and we would watch them too, because there wasn't a lot of good things on when we were kids, and our cartoons were Casper and the Friendly Ghost. Those were our cartoons, and the cowboys and Indian shows, because we'd always watch them, and I'd watch them, and it's like, as I was thinking about the way they showed the Indians and the cowboys, that they all showed these settlers traveling in wagons and horses, and then they would always show these Indians attacking them, it seemed like for nothing. So I always stuck up for the settlers because I didn't know why the Indians were attacking them, and I didn't know I was an Indian until one day I was standing outside and I was thinking, oh, what where would I hide if those Indians come running on horses? And I was sitting out there and I was thinking, oh, geez, I'm an Indian. I didn't, you know. I didn't really, you know, that's when I thought, and that's when I knew I was an Indian, and it's like a TV influenced me because I was watching and they were making the Indians bad, and so I stuck up for the white people, the settlers, so, you know, and I didn't know I was Indian until then I start thinking about that, but yeah, my dad loved to watch those cowboy and Indian shows, and a neighbor guy used to come over and watch them with him, and I remember they'd be sitting there laughing at those old shows, and then I remember the news being on, like, Walter Cronkite was a main TV newscaster. He'd always be talking about Vietnam, the war was going on, and then he'd be making reports on that. And then the TVs used to shut off exactly at midnight to go off the air, so we didn't stay up and watch TV really late because it would go off the air. It would just go blank. But we didn't really stay up late anyway. We were in bed at, like, probably dark. But because we didn't have electricity, we had to have lights, you know, we had to have those old lights, those old lamps with kerosene, and that's what we read by, and that's what, you know, we used as our lights and stuff like that. So, and it was, you know, we didn't have electricity and no TV when I was younger, so that's some of the things I remember. Okay, that because I grew up without TVs and stuff, and you are more into technology today, how much are you into technology, and how do you think technology, like cell phones and internet, affects your life? Is it good or bad?
I go on my cell phone like every day, every time I get home from school, until my mom tells me to get off. I really don't learn that much because I'm always in my room. Not help. I do help with the babies sometimes, not all the time.
What do you do on with, would you say you're on your cell phone? What do you do on your cell phone? You get like, can you get like Facebook on there and stuff?
Yeah, I consider myself a Facebook freak.
Do you think it influences? Do you think, does that take you away from doing other things, like traditional things?
Yeah, it doesn't, like, tell me to go outside and play. It tells me to stay in my room and scroll down and see what people are talking about now. What was the greatest joy or sadness of your childhood?
I remember when, I'll go with the saddest of my childhood. I remember, when people die and stuff like that, they got killed and stuff, but I remember because we didn't have TVs and stuff. I mean, TVs, we didn't have telephones. So there was this one guy, he would go over to the Episcopal Church over here. He lives up that way where you guys live now, about half a mile, named George Martin, while we called him Wakigan. But he would go and ring the church bell really slow, like dong, dong, the church bell really slow. And we live half a mile, so we could hear it from our house, and I think everybody else could hear it. So when somebody died and we didn't have telephones, he would go ring that bell really slow. And I remember playing outside one time, and I hear that church bell ring like that, so you knew somebody died. Like if somebody lived in Minneapolis, he must have had a telephone because he would know when somebody died, and then he would go ring that church bell because nobody had, you know, phones. So when people would hear that church bell ring like that really slow, then you knew somebody died. But you didn't know who, you just knew that somebody did. So it was really, I think, kind of the saddest feeling to hear that. So that was some of the sadness in my childhood. And then the greatest joy is, I remember we got our big house. We got a big house and we didn't live in that tar house anymore. My dad bought this big house and it had an upstairs in it. And it had, you know, one big room upstairs, and it had like kind of a wall separating the kitchen from the dining room and the living room. And it looked so big, it's like now we had an upstairs. And so that's one of the biggest, I remember being happy because we had such a big house. And then when my brother brother came home from the service. I remember he was in the army, and I must have been about 10 or something, 10 or 11, when he came home from the service. And I remember he had this big old army duffel bag, and he must have saved up his pennies, and he come home, and then he dumped his old bag on the floor, and a whole bunch of pennies all over. And me and my sisters are scrambling all over, grabbing at pennies and stuff, because we didn't ever have money, so so that was a really, I enjoyed that. So, well, what about you? What are your good times, or that makes you happy, things that make you happy or make you sad?
One of the things that make me sad is like when you have the greatest day ever and you come home to hear one of your family members had died. Because one day I was at school having a good day, came home, went to go give my mom and dad a hug like usual, and they looked sad, so I asked what's wrong, and they told me that my grandpa Joe Bush had passed. And I just sat there stated, like, I just stared and I started crying. And I did the same thing when they told me that my aunties Charlene and Kayla had passed in a car accident. I wouldn't stop crying. But my mom told me to never cry for the ones you love, because it'll just call them back. One of my happiest, like,
happiest moments or happiest times? Or
one of my happiest moments is when I got crowned princess at Pine Point. I thought I'd never make it, because I have some cousins that are really good at dancing. I thought they would win. But as soon as I heard my name, I got the butterflies. I felt amazed, like I'd never make it.
Did you just get crowned this past summer then?
Yes.
And this is your first year?
Yep. Who were your childhood role models?
I would have to say my dad and my mom. My dad, he was a fluent Ojibwe speaker. He only went as far as the second grade. And he knew how to fix everything. And he was really creative. Sometimes I think he probably created the first car alarm system. Because people would come and they would take gas out of his car at nighttime. And he hooked up this wire to the gas tank cover. And then when they opened it, the horn went off, so and then they quit doing that. But he was really creative. He knew how to do everything. And one time somebody was talking about he used a power saw to get his car started. He hooked a belt on a power saw onto the car, started up his power saw, and it got the belt going, and then it turned the mortar or whatever on the car, and it got it started. Because he was in the woods by himself, way out in the woods, and he was getting wood and working, so that he got his car started like that. And then I remember my mom talking about him using his horses to pull his Model T down the road to get it started. It was, she said, I was just laughing. He said, I looked out the window, and there he goes. Little horses go running by just fast, pulling his own Model T, and he got it started. So yeah, he was really creative, and there's a lot of other people in the village that can tell you stories about him. My dad's name is John Bellinger, by the way, or they called him Johnny Bell. And my mom's name was Eliza. But that's one of my role models, because he knew everything. He knew how to do everything, and just whatever needed fixing, he would know how to fix it and stuff like that. Or because we didn't have electricity too, and we had this old washing machine outside, because it didn't have electricity to run it. He was able to hook up the mortar to run on, you know, gas, and he made a little gas mortar, and you would kick start it with your foot, and the mortar would run and turn the whole washing machine. So he knew how to do all kinds of stuff like that. And my mom, she had a memory for dates. She was kind of like more, she knew oral history. She would tell you things, tell you what year this went on, and she would remember all the dates. So it happened on like April 4th, 1949. She would tell you things. She knew. She had a memory for all of that, when something took place. So she, you know, passed down history orally, and so that I really admired that about. Okay, who are role models, and what do you admire about them?
I'd say my dad is a role model, because he was always there for me when I was little. All I remember is him when I first got my memories. And I hardly know my father, because he's always gone. And my dad, he's a firefighter, and he'd do anything for anybody to save him. Well, what was your family like? Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I had one brother, and I got 8 sisters. And it's like our family, kind of like we all ate together all the time. It was a family. We always had supper together. I think, breakfast too. My dad had this big wooden table. Everything he pretty much had, he built them. He had a big long table, chairs on that side, and he had big wooden benches on both sides, and that's where we all sat. Kind of, we always had our meals together. And then we always went to church on Sundays. I remember my two younger sisters and probably my older sisters would be walking down the road to church on Sundays. We live about half a mile from there, so we always went to church. And then we all had Ojibwe names. My dad gave us Ojibwe names, and that's when he talked about, oh, we're so-and-so in Ojibwe. So we knew who he was talking about, so we knew everybody's Ojibwe name. So we all had Ojibwe names, and then because there's no swear words in Ojibwe, we never swore, so we didn't know how to swear. And we all just always helped each other. Like I was telling you earlier, our older sisters always gave us baths in that big black tub, and then my dad always cut our hair. He would just cut it straight across in the back and up here, and that's how we that's how we had our hair. So my dad would cut our hair, was our barber. And then we were always helping our parents, like in the woods. We cleared a lot of that brush around my house that I live at now, or where I grew up at. My dad and mother would be out there chopping brush and stuff, and we'd go out there and help them burn it and help them cleaning the yard and stuff. And then we also worked in the woods with them peeling pulp and stuff. And then we'd be picking potatoes in the potato fields up in like Fargo or Moorhead that way. They used to pick potatoes by hand before they had the machines like they do now, but we'd have to pick them. A tractor or whatever would come along, and those potatoes would come up out the ground, and then we would go and we'd take the potatoes and put them in these or sacks. We'd call them gunny sacks, and we'd fill those bags, and we'd do that just all day, and we'd help our parents like that. We'd go out there really early in the morning. Like, my dad had this pickup truck, and he had like a canvas on the back, and he would haul other people from the community, like my uncles. And us kids, I remember getting in the back of the truck like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be just tired. I must have went back to sleep, because then I'd wake up and we were by Dilworth up there. They called it Hilgren's Farm. And that's where, you know, I'd probably wake up and we'd go out in the field and work. And we never even thought about it being hard work or anything. That's just, you know, the type of things we did. And then my dad, he taught me how to fish and how to set rabbit snares. And he would tell us, go get like grasshoppers for our bait, or dig worms and stuff, and catch minnows. And so we did all kinds of stuff like that. And then we all harvest rail rice. We all went racing. It's the whole family did. So those are kind of like what my family was like. What was your family like? Like, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother and 3 sisters. I'm the oldest out of all of them. So when my mom and dad are gone, I'm like the babysitter. Since my mom can, like, she knows that I can take care of them well.
How old are they, baby? I mean, do you have to change diapers and stuff like that? Are they still in diapers too?
One is starting to potty train. The other one is 6 months. The one that is potty trained, her birthday will be on the 19th. The oldest brother would be 7. My family is very busy. The only time we'll be able to play is in the evening.
What do you mean by busy? What are you doing?
My mom's always on baby duty, so I had to take over, because she gets to sleep sometimes, but not all the time, because baby's crying constantly. My dad is always up helping. My dad has work Monday through Friday, gets 2 days off. My mom had a better job because of babies. What were the things that you enjoyed as a child?
The things that I enjoyed as a child, I remember everybody talked Ojibwe. I remember hearing Ojibwe, like all the older people, and they'd be telling stories and laughing and stuff like that. And I remember I used to just like listening to them. My dad would be downstairs when we had that upstairs, and I'd be up there, and then some people would come over and visit him and stuff, and they'd be down there talking Ojibwe and laughing, and I used to just like to sit up there and listen to them. And then we used to walk through the woods all the time, or go across that field or that cow pasture, and we'd take a shortcut to my grandma's. She used to live towards uptown that way, and we always had these old paths we would use, so we'd go walking through the woods to her house, and she'd always give us tea, let us drink tea. My mom didn't let us drink tea or coffee, but if we went to grandma's she'd give us tea, so they used to like that. And another things I liked as a child is it seemed like the community was more involved in things. I remember when we were small, we used to go to the school, the old school, and the gym there. They had an old gym and they would have movies. They would show a movie, I think it was on Tuesday nights. And if we went to school all week, we'd get a free ticket. So then we'd go watch a movie on a Tuesday night for free. And this Jack Million, he was a janitor. He would have those old-fashioned movies that come on a film adapter. And he would put a movie on, and I don't remember some what kind of movies they were, but maybe Frankenstein or something, but we'd go down there and we would all just be quiet and watch a movie. You know, we didn't raise cane or laugh, and that was a treat, you know, to go to watch a movie and stuff. And then they'd have ball games over at the Ball Diamond over here. I remember you hear the people laughing and hollering and stuff like that, so we'd go over to the ball game and watch them, those guys, the older people playing ball and stuff. And then they used to have powwows in the community by the Osem Episcopal Church here, Guildhall. They had some kind of, you know, just kind of like yard lights or something like that. Or they'd always just have a powwow. I mean, nobody got paid or anything. You know, they didn't pay the dancers or didn't pay the drummers, and people would just come out and drum, and others would just come around and watch, and others would just want to dance. So we used to have those all the time, just in the summertime. And we didn't have, you know, it wasn't every just a year, once a year we had them during the summer. So, and then I remember they had a Ferris wheel. They brought a Ferris wheel over there. I don't know who organized it or anything, but I just remember being a little kid and did have a Ferris wheel there too. Bring it every once in a while during the summer, and we'd get to have, it was a merry-go-round Ferris wheel and stuff, and would ride on that and stuff. And so I remember some of those things. I remember when I was a kid, and then at the Catholic Guildhall there, where the Guildhall is, that's where we went for at Christmas. The whole community would go over there, and somebody, I don't know who organized it, but they'd always have Christmas gifts for all of the community members and give us bags of like peanuts and oranges and candy in there. So we'd all go over there, and that's where we did our Christmas in that old Guildhall. Okay, what's your favorite memory with your family?
It might have been a couple years ago. We went to the Valley Fair. We had to wait a long time because there's a long line for people to like register and stuff. And then we had to sit there for like half hour waiting for us to take pictures. And then they printed it, gave it to us. And by the time we got to play, it was like 12 because we got there at 9. And the first thing we went on was the power tower. We went way up there, and my mom and this other lady told me not to hang on, so I was just squeezing, just tight, hang on to the protector thing you have around your shoulders. And they just told me to let loose, and by the time they told me to let loose, we were already done with the ride. And there was this one water slide. It seated 4 people. Me and my mom were on one side. These two, like, there were a couple. They were on the other side. I kept thinking we were gonna fall off because it went way up there on the side, and then we'll go back down. And then it kept giving me the butterflies. So when we were going down, I kept screaming, and like the couple and my mom were just sitting there laughing at me because I was just little. And then there was this fun ride. It's like a shoulder protector. It's a roller coaster. You sit on it and you'll go straight and you'll spin all the way up, and then you'll drop, and then you'll go up on this other side and you go just straight, and then you turn, and all you can hear is people screaming. After that, we went to this swimming pool. We stayed there for about half hour. So when I was getting out, I accidentally slipped over this toy, fell back in the water, and got up laughing. And then my brother jumped in, and I had to take him back out because he didn't know how to swim. And he just took off his life jacket. So he was doggy paddling just hard, but kept going underwater. So I just told my mom that I was going to teach my brother how to swim for a little bit. And she was like, it's okay. And then she went to go get some pop, came back, and we were already dressed, and we left. And then we went on some kiddie rides for my little brother. Then there was this one ride, he was like an inch shorter than the ride, so he starts stepping on his tippy toes, and he's been stepping on his toes ever since.
Just to get on rides.
Yeah. What kinds of values do you think your parents instilled in you?
I think, you know, one of the things that I was really thinking about this one, and it's generosity, you know, sharing and stuff. I remember, you know, if people come over to your house and you're cooking, you know, and when people came over to our house and my mom was cooking, we'd always feed the people. So that's, you know, being generous. And one time we had some people that came lived with us. These two guys, they didn't have a place to stay, so they stayed with us. And That's kind of like sharing what you have. And a lot of times, like, my sisters come over, and if I'm cooking or something, I'll say, have something to eat, or do you want to eat, or if you want something to eat. Just being generous with what you have, sharing. And kind of with money, too, it's like, if, you know, if I had money or something, and I knew somebody, you know, needed money, I'll offer, do you want to borrow some money, you know, stuff like that, or, you know, just say, you know, I'll give you some money, you know, if you really need it and stuff. That kind of being kind of generous like that, and just helping out, you know, around the house and not expecting to get paid for it. Like, I used to go to my sister's in Ugima, and first snow was, you know, lots of snow on her porch and stuff. I would just shovel it because that just needed to be done, you know. Things like that, helping out when things need to be done. And I guess I do it with, like, spirits and stuff, too. Like, when somebody passes away and I'm sitting there, and if I'm smoking a cigarette, and a cigarette will fall out. To me, that's saying a spirit wants a cigarette, so I'll put one out for them. And then, like, if I'm in a house and the dishes move or something by themselves, I believe that some spirit is hungry. So, especially if I'm making food and stuff, or I'll get up and I'll put food out, and it's kind of like offering it to them. And so I kind of do things like that. You know, I kind of been doing it for quite a while. And then wisdom, I would say the other things they've instilled in me, like teaching us through their experience of what my dad knew and what he did. And I still do some of those things of what he taught me. Like, he used to know how to do a lot of things, and just said, I've kind of done some stuff myself. Like, I never went to carpentry school, but I built things. If you see that little blue house over at John Robbins's in the back back there, I built that old thing. And it's a little blue house, and so I built that, and then that deck at that, that's my sister's, I built that, and I just look at things that other people build, and that's how I learn too. But it's from, you know, learning from my dad, that their knowledge that they passed on, and, you know, common sense and stuff like that. So those are the things that I believe my parents instilled in me. What about you? What type of life lessons have you learned from your parents in the past few years?
I have learned responsibilities, since now I know it's not just me. It's other ones that I have to take care of. I do chores on a daily basis because all the little ones like to run around and get everything dirty. Then I come home from school, and then I'll just clean up and do the dishes. Some, once in a while I'll cook, but the main person that cooks is my dad. I'm always respectful to others.
But I want to ask you a little bit about school stuff. How do you get to school?
I use a bus. I have to wake up at 5:30 or 5:45 to get ready, and I'll jump in the shower, get dressed, fix my hair, and then I'll just sit down and wait for the bus.
What's your favorite subjects in school?
My favorite subjects in school are math and gym, because I am pretty good at math, and my friends think I'm very athletic in school.
Who's your favorite teacher?
Her name is Wanda Goodwin.
Why is she your favorite?
She is very strict, but on some days, if you're really good and nice to her, she's like the best teacher ever.
Do you ever get in trouble at school?
Sometimes.
For what do you do?
We get a 2 or 3 minute break between classes. And usually I'm at my locker trying to find stuff for the next class, and sometimes I can't get my combination right in between time, so I'm always tardy. Not always, but sometimes.
So what happens when you get in trouble at school?
At the end of the day, I have detention for 15 or 10 minutes, and then I get to go to class. What advice would you give a kid my age?
And I think I would give the same advice, kind of like what my mom said to me. My mom said, you should understand and know the treaties. So I would say do the same. Know who you are as an Ojibwe person, and be proud of your culture, and to carry all that on to the next generations. I didn't really understand what the treaties were when my mom said that, but I studied. I studied our family history, I studied the community history, our Pine Point history, and then I studied White Earth history, the reservation history. Then I went on and studied everybody's history, like American Indian studies, and So it's like, now I know what she's talking about. I know, and it's like, we need to pass it on to the next generation to know who we are as a people and, you know who you are as an Indian. Like I told you, I didn't know I was an Indian a long time ago, and now I do. And so that's, you know, that's what I would like, you know, to say to you, is to understand and know who you are and pass that on to the other kids when they're the next generations, you know, keep our culture alive. What would you want adults to know about kids your age, or, you know, that you haven't been able to tell them?
I'd tell them to don't start doing drugs and take care of their kids, because there's a lot of kids that are in foster care right now. And it'd be great if they could just go home and be with their family and fun instead of being with people they don't even know.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.